So we're continuing our study of the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10, Chapter 1. This in this fourth unit of our course in the Bhaktivedanta. So we discussed so far many reasons why both the liberated and those trying for liberation should especially read Krishna Katha, the glories of Krishna. And we have understood that the Supreme Lord, we're studying the appearance of the Lord, and the appearance of the Lord gives us the opportunity to have lifetimes of opportunities to hear and chant about the glories of the Lord. Some, if they're perfected devotees, get to join in with those pastimes of the Lord. And as Prabhupada says in the Krishna book, others, by hearing and chanting about those pastimes, they get elevated to the same position. And so we're going to hear a little bit more about that today, that the we're discussing. Krishna called upon different demigods to appear and assist him in his pastimes. They're also called upon to, for their own purification, to witness the pastimes of the Lord. And his pastimes, of course, are there in order to, as he states in the Bhagavad Gita, to annihilate the miscreants, protect the religious principles, re-establish those religious principles, and to deliver the pious. But as we'll see, the main one reason, the actual reason why the Lord appears, is to give pleasure to his devotees. And so they take pleasure either in joining in those pastimes or, as we do, in hearing and chanting about those different pastimes. And they take pleasure in the fact that you know, so many people speculate about God may be like this, or he doesn't exist, or this or that. And then he appears and all the nonsense is removed, and the devotees feel very satisfied. Yes, the Lord has come to prove that he is the personality of Godhead. So many different things there. So we're going to look a little further that amongst the demigods, we see that the Nitya Siddhas also sometimes appear amongst the demigods and then come down and appear in the same family line that Krishna appears in, known as either the Yadus on the side of Vasudeva and Devaki, or the Brijnis on the side of Nanda and Yashoda. And those Nitya Siddhas, not only they appear among the demigods, but sometimes, in the case that they may appear as the wife of Upendra, or the mother of Upendra, it was Aditi, some of those Nitya Siddhas also appear within the same body alongside, you know, the demigod is there and the Nitya Siddha is there with that demigod. The Nitya Siddha is enjoying pastimes on a completely transcendental level, and the demigod is enjoying as far as they can possibly understand the absolute truth and reciprocate, but not necessarily understand
it. So you're saying Nityasiddhas who go to the demigod body, so they are merging with the particular demigod. Is that
true? Yeah, they're in the same. Yeah.
And then they come back both together.
Yeah, so what happened? Come back where to?
To Krishna's Leela.
Yes, because as we'll see, that, you know, Krishna said that Vasudeva and Devaki, and he says, three times I've appeared to you.
Yes.
Not the three times I've appeared, but to you.
Mm.
You know, you have been my mother and father. At first you were preaching in Suttapa.
Mm.
So that indicates that Vasudeva and Devaki were with those Prajapatis. Then he appeared. I appeared before you, and you were a deity in Kashyapa.
So that's the next life of Prishni is as Aditi.
It appears to be, because as we see, I'm going to read the Garga Samhita. In the Garga Samhita, it describes that Kashyapa and a deity actually appeared as Vasudeva and Devaki.
Mm. So in those, they are basically Prishni and Suttapa, and they are on demigod status because they are Prajapatis.
Yes.
They are in higher planets.
Yes.
So they are Jivas, and also the eternal Vasudeva and Devaki, they merged into
the bodies. Yeah. Vasudeva and Devaki were there with them as their parents. That's what Krishna is saying. You know, I appeared for you, particularly for the Nitya Siddhas.
Oh, okay. So they were there previously as well, basically.
Alongside Prishni and Suttapa. Yeah. You know, with in their forms. So so we cover a little bit of this, and so some of the reading I do will, you know, highlight those points. I'm going to be reading from the Garga Samhita.
That I should probably go to saying that basically
Devaki
and Vasudeva are
Nityasiddhas.
Is that what I heard?
The Nityasiddhas appear. Krishna sends them, some before his birth, such as his parents. Different personalities, and some appear along with his birth and some appear after. It appears that most of the sudden siddhas appear after his birth, alongside the Nitya siddhas, and I'm taking that from various writings of like Kavikan Porn and what have you. What's that?
Is it being recorded?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And so sometimes the Nitya Siddhas may appear in their own glory. You know, that in the case of Vasudeva and Devaki, they appeared as Vasudeva and Devaki. But previously when they appeared, Vasudeva and Devaki were somewhat confidentially within the form of Kashyapa and a deity. But then, in Krishna's pastimes, Kashyapa and a deity were able to join in with Vasudeva and Devaki, but Vasudeva and Devaki were in their, in their own right. You see? So they reversed. So in other words, previously you wouldn't have known that Vasudeva and Devaki are there with Kashyapa and a deity. And then when Vasudeva and Devaki were born, you wouldn't know that a deity and Kashyapa were there with them. So they reversed that. So this will become more clear as we go. And, and therefore we see that in this pastime, of course, when Krishna appeared as Lord Vamanadeva, actually Krishna appeared in his, expansion, as a Leela avatar, Krishna's saying, I appeared, but as Vishwanath Chakravarti the core points out, even Krishna comes in a confidential way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Now, I'll explain a little bit about the Gauga Samhita. When I started reading the Gauga Samhita many years ago, I think I told one devotee a story from the Gauga Samhita, and they said, "Is that bona fide?" And I thought, "That's the last time." You know, over many years, of course, now, you know, it's accepted, all the gurus and they all accepted. Like that. But when I was first reading it, so I had to verify it myself. So I did a bit of research from the, because, you know, here we're reading a story where we're giving a different account. Have you read this story about the appearance of Krishna from Gauga Samhita?
No.
He gives another account of some other events that happened, and we're thinking, well, it's not in the Bhagavatam. So there's extra lila. And so I'll explain that, but therefore, because it, you know, from the way it's written, it appears like, you know, you'd say, oh, you know, when I first read it, I thought, oh, that must be a different Brahma in a different universe. Mm. It appeared so different. But, you know, then, you know, when you look at the particular characters and personalities, so it just seems you talk about this particular... So he states that this pastime mentioned in the Gauga Samhita took place in the Varaha Kalpa. This is the Varaha Kalpa. This first day of Brahma is known as the Varaha Kalpa. It's known by different names. It's known as the Padma Kalpa because also the lotus flower comes. You know, again, in this, it very rarely, I think, at the, you know, the beginning of the universe, and then the second half of the universe, you get the lotus flower and Brahma coming out from the lotus flower. So it was also called the Sarasvati Kalpa. You know, it's a very special day today. It's Brahma's birthday. Do you know that? It's Brahma's birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, this is very interesting because. Time within the universe. See, like when we're born into a year, the year's sort of already undergone because time's already began. But when there was no calculation of time within the universe except from the beginning of Brahma's birth. So that becomes his first year, and that's the demarcation of time. So his birthday is always the first day of the year. So because we're in the first day of the year, of the next, you know, 51st year, so therefore it's his birthday. And so it's a very special day like that. So, you know, you'd expect some extra nice pastimes from Krishna on this day, wouldn't you?
And what is Sarasvati Kalpa?
Yeah, this is also called the Sarasvati. I'm not sure why they call it the Sarasvati Kalpa, but I know it's called the Sarasvati Kalpa. The Varaha Kalpa. And remember last week I pointed out, Prabhupada says in the Krishna book, you have already appeared to deliver the earth in the form of Varaha, the bull.
Yes, that's right.
Right?
Yeah,
and I don't see it here.
Yeah.
The only thing I can understand is that this story here particularly states that this pastime took place in the Varaha Kalpa, and this day is the Varaha Kalpa, because not all the Leelas appear in every day of Brahma.
Yeah.
Twice he's appeared.
Twice,
and it's particularly called the Varaha Kalpa. So Prabhupada, to me, there's a little link to this pastime. You know, and I've seen that in Prabhupada's writings. That sometimes there's a lot more that he just wants to register a point, and you know that the only reference can be from what this acharya has said, but you know that Prabhupada's including that, you know, he's acknowledging it. And sometimes he just marks it like that. Right, you know, you appear previously as Varaha. It's a very, you know, way out of the blue, you just put it in there. And it's because this is a Varaha Kalpa, this story from Gauga Samhita is saying this happened in the Varaha Kalpa.
So this is the Shweta Varaha and...
There's two Varahas, one appeared in the Svayambhuva and one appeared in the Six Manu. Wasn't it?
Yeah, Six Manu. For the...
Yeah.
Prahlad.
Brahma fell asleep for a little bit.
Yeah, Yeah.
And then there was a little partial devastation or something. No, Hiranyaksha.
Hiranyaksha.
Yeah, that's right. It was the fish for the other person.
Right.
Yeah. So
at the time we don't know how the earth fell. There's no description as such in the Swayambhuva.
In the Swayambhuva, yeah.
There's no description.
No.
Why the
earth
fell down? There's no description. Whereas sixth, we know it is because of the Hiranyaksha.
But apparently it was because of the, as far as I understand, it was just because of the inundation, which is more than usual.
Oh, because of the inundation. Yeah.
Now, in the story, as we get to it...
And this Varaha you're mentioning, that is referring to the Varaha in the...
Either of them. This is called the Varaha Kalpa. Varaha has appeared twice.
Yes.
Even if he only appeared once, this day of Brahma.
That's right. It's the same. The whole thing is the same.
That's what's called this day of Brahma. It's called the Varaha Kalpa.
Oh, yeah.
Where can we get all this information?
From
me. Okay, because I haven't heard of all these different madhus and the,
Okay.
I only know the one Varaha who's in the Aranyaksha.
Very quickly, Brahma lives for 100 years.
Yeah.
Each, 100 years.
That's not old.
Listen carefully. Each year has 360 days.
Oh.
Right?
But that's us.
Of 12 months. 12 months of 30 days each.
Yeah.
One of those years is for 1,000 kalpas. 1,000 cycles of the kalpas, 1,000 cycles of the yugas, sorry. So, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali, one of those together is called a Divya Yuga. Right?
Okay.
And 1,000 of them, Divya Yugas, makes Brahma's one day.
One day?
One day.
Wow.
And the same again is his one night. Now, there are 14 manus in one day, Brahma.
Yeah.
And each one rules for approximately 71 cycles, right? So 71 times 14, you get about 1,000.
Yes.
And we're in the seventh manu in this first day, Brahma.
Yeah.
And in the previous manus, Lord Varaha had appeared.
So we're in the
14th
manu.
We're in the 7th out of 14.
Ah.
It's about Brahma's lunchtime.
Oh.
In,
so there's 7 more left.
Yeah. And yeah.
Okay.
Now, another interesting thing is that in the story, as you get to it, when Brahma reaches Krishna, he wants to enter into the where Krishna is, and some girls who are like guards or gatekeepers, they come out and ask, you know, you want to see Krishna? You know, where are you from? I'll tell him. Oh, well, you know, we're from the universe. Which universe? Which universe? Yeah, there are millions and millions, you know, like they're making fun of Brahma. He says, well, we're from the universe that Lord Vamana put a hole in. Okay, I'll go and tell Krishna. So this pastime also took place, and that also is very significant because it, you know, that means that they were able to identify that this universe is particularly unique at this time, that it was the one with the hole in it. See? So what we're seeing is that the little avatars, you know, they come and go on a day of Brahma, but not necessarily every single one.
And this is Vaivashvata.
And Vamana was at the beginning of Vaivashvata Manu. So now we know we're in the Vaivashvata Manu in this day of Brahma.
Yes.
And this is where this story is coming from. And just before the appearance of Krishna. Right? So it actually links it. It's not another day of Brahma. It's not another Brahma. It is this Brahma in this day, in this, you know, seventh Manu, just before Krishna's appearance. Yeah. So anyone else comes in and asks that question, I'm going to get one of you to answer it. Or I'm going to say you'll have to listen to the tape. So,
have we missed anything? Did you guys start by
No. No? Well, you get it.
We just got
I don't say much in 5 minutes. Okay. So, let's have a look. Where are we? Okay. So, now, and what I'll get you to do, you got a pen and a paper?
Yeah,
if you have.
Yeah. Can we make notes on
them? You can make notes. If you have a question,
yeah.
jot it down.
Okay.
All right, because some of them may get answered as I go.
Okay.
All right. And then at some stage we'll pause a little bit. I learned that from my wife. That's what she does when I speak. She lets me keep speaking and she just write it down. And when I stop, she'll ask the questions. So, now, I read a little bit of the Garga Samhita. I read a little bit about Balaram.
We stopped at verse 23, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want me to come back to this point, I'll come back to it about in the same pastime, although it's in a different chapter of the Garga Samhita, you know, how Krishna asked Balaram to appear as well. But I'm going to start from here. So we've established it's this Brahma. What happens here? We read how in the Krishna book that at 10.1.21, Brahma and the demigods, they didn't get to see Vishnu. Brahma meditated along with the other personalities like Shiva. He would have meditated, wouldn't just been sitting there twiddling his thumbs. And they heard a voice of Vishnu who said, you know, that Krishna would appear and, you know, some of the demigods should appear like that. And then they all went back to their respective abodes. This story is telling how Brahma went with Vishnu and Shiva and some of the chief demigods through the hole in the universe that Brahma had put there along the Viraj River to the banks of the Viraj River to the Brahma Jyoti and then come across where Krishna was. Right? So it would appear that those demigods who were not fit to go on such a journey, that's all they saw. And from that point, either in their trance of samadhi, which would be most likely, they have gone further than what the other demigods were privy to. That's my understanding.
Not all of them.
No, just the chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Just, no. So bear that in mind as I read this. Now, because this is an exception to the usual is stated, which also happened. This is an exceptional confidential pastime because of Brahma's birthday, something like that. For some reason or another, for our Brahma, in this day, it is an exceptional pastime. So it's a little more happened. Long ago, when the earth was overburdened by many daitas, danavas, and demoniac human kings, Bhumi assumed the form of a cow, and while trembling with tears in her eyes, a lot of this story is being told by Narada to Bahalashva, which is another Bahalashva.
Same Bahalashva in the past.
So, yeah. And that's an interesting pastime as well because, you know, it's very interesting he's telling him that story because Krishna was travelling with many sages, Vyasadeva, Narada, and he wanted to visit Bahulashva, who was a king, who was a great devotee of his, and he wanted to, you know, personally visit Shudadev, who was a Brahmana. And so he went and saw them both at the same time, although they lived in different parts of India. And when he went there, all the people who were with him also went to both places at the same time. Yes, that's right. So, you know, but it's an indication to me that there are simultaneous pastimes that not everyone sees like that, you know. And that, you know...
But these are normal, ordinary... Human.
These are Krishna's devotees, yeah. Like that, Narada and Vyasadeva and different sages.
No, the ones that went with him.
They went... Because Krishna went to both places and they were with Krishna, they also got to go to both places at the same time. Yeah. So that, you meditate upon that. But it's important. After listening to the earth's tale of woe, Lord Brahma comforted her, then accompanied by Lord Shiva and other chiefs of the demigods. He took her and went to Lord Hari's palace in Vaikuntha. Lord Brahma bowed down before the four-armed Lord Vishnu and described the earth's plight. After hearing everything, the husband of the goddess of fortune spoke to Brahma and the other aggrieved demigods. A resident of heaven without Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of countless universes, the all-perfect one who is above the demigods, and the enjoyer of transcendental pastimes, this burden of the earth cannot be removed. You should therefore approach him in his eternal abode without delay. Lord Brahma said, I do not know anyone greater or more perfect than you, my dear Lord. If there is such a person, please reveal him to us. Lord Hari then revealed to all the demigods a spiritual river flowing through the hole that Lord Vamana made in the universal coverings with his toenail. Going by boat, this is a very special boat, on this river, the demigods left the universe. After leaving the universe far behind, they could see it to be like a round kutaja fruit.
Where this happened? So this happened in Vaikuntha. This conversation took place in Vaikuntha.
Yes. So
and
here.
Then how this hole is coming from? Because that is in this universe, right?
No. They, you know, in the where. Svetadvip, or the where the ocean milk is, where Vishnu resides in this universe.
Oh, okay. So it's
they went to see him.
Okay. So this is
Shirakshai Vishnu.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And he allowed them.
Yeah.
He allowed this Brahma and some of the chiefs to approach him, and they offered their pranams to him. So from this point, from at that point, you know, Vishnu is revealing, you know, where the hole in the universe can be accessed, or whatever we call the portal. So the portal is hidden, you know, that you'd have to go to Vishnu's abode, which is hidden in itself. Now, so they've left the universe and it looks like a round kutacha fruit, which is something egg-shaped, from what I understand.
In a boat.
They're in a boat. After leaving the universe far behind, they could see it to be like a round kutacha fruit, far below them. So they've quickly, you know, they're travelling, not in times that we know of, but they're... Now they're seeing the universe just, you know, appearing like a little fruit below them. Very quickly. Thereafter, when the demigods saw the universe, the other universes, which were also like many kutaja fruits, bobbing on the surface of the water of the Karana Ocean, they became surprised and somewhat frightened, not understanding what they were. So they're like, it hasn't dawned on these are universes. They're so far, millions of yojanas higher. They came to eight very charming cities adorned with glistening jewel-like groves. So this would be, you know, obviously it appears to be on the river. I like to speculate here, but I shouldn't. But it doesn't say where it is, but, you know, it'd have to be something like Lord Shiva, who resides between, you know, the spiritual and the material worlds, or Lord Buddha or something, you know, but it doesn't say. But anyway, there's cities, so they just passed, they didn't even go in. Now, higher still, the demigod saw the Viraja River's splendid shore, which was splashed by waves that were as white as silk. After seeing the Viraj River, the demigods entered a city whose splendid rival countless millions of suns. Then as they gazed at the city's splendour, the demigods became overpowered by the intense effulgence. At that time, by Lord Vishnu's order, Lord Brahma offered his obeisances to that effulgence and began to meditate upon it. Thereafter, in that circle of light, Lord Brahma and the other demigods could see a transcendentally peaceful realm. When they saw a very wonderful white lotus upon which was seated Lord Sesha, that's Sankisha, having 1,000 heads, they bowed down to offer their respects to him. On Lord Sesha's head was the transcendental realm of Goloka, which is worshipped by all within the three worlds, which is a realm where time, the conqueror of the proud, does not prevail, and where illusion, material mind, heart, intelligence and ego, material transformations and the Mahatattva cannot enter. How then could the three modes of material nature have any effect there? Sri Krishna's associates stood at the entrance. Their forms were exceedingly beautiful, more beautiful than Kamadev. The demigod said, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, all the protectors of the planets and the demigods headed by Indra have come here to see Sri Krishna. Actually, these gatekeepers were girls who were in a friendly relationship with the Lord. They went inside the palace and informed Sri Krishna that he had visitors. Then a girlfriend of Sri Krishna's name, Sadachandranana, who was dressed in yellow garments and held a stick in her hand, came out of the palace and asked the demigods what they wanted. She walked out with a stick. She was obviously up for a bit of fun. Sri Sadachandranana inquired, "Of what universe are you demigods the rulers? Tell me, and I shall go and inform the Lord at once." The demigods replied, "We have not seen any other universes. We know only one universe, a beautiful one. As far as we know, there is no universe beyond ours." So, you know, they're travelling at quite a speed, you know, so by the time they look back at the universe, it's just a little fruit, you know, on the river sort of thing. So, the demigods replied, So Sri Sadachandranana said, "Brahma, millions of universes bob up and down on the surface of the Karana ocean. As you are the demigods of one universe, so in each universe there are many demigods. However, you do not even know their names, and so what to speak of meet them? Never leaving your little home, you remain satisfied with a stunted mind. You know only one universe, but living entities are born in many universes, like mosquitoes inside many undumbura fruits." So she's really smashing their pride. Being mocked in this way, the demigods remained silent. Seeing them intimidated in this way, Lord Vishnu said, "We stay in the universe where Lord Prishnigarbha descended, the universe that was cracked by Lord Trivikram's toenail." They wouldn't have been able to get there without Vishnu. Vishnu probably pops up there all the time. Lord Vishnu said, After hearing this, Satchidananda praised Lord Vishnu for some time and then again entered the palace. Upon her return, she gave the demigods permission to enter. Thereafter, when the demigods entered the palace, they were able to see Goloka, where there was the king of mountains. We won't get through all that. We'll do what we can. So when the demigods entered the palace, they were able to see Goloka, where there was the king of mountains, Govardhan, which was filled with many cows and gopis, garlanded with forest flowers, which was decorated with rasa dance circles, splendidly manifest, which was where the dark Jamuna River meandered at will, its shores paved with lapis lazuli steps and decorated with millions of gazebos. The demigods saw the forest of Vrindavan, which was filled with wonderful trees and creepers appearing most glorious, with countless bees and colourful birds. And the banyan tree, where Lord Krishna played his flute, was splendidly manifest. A cool breeze gently blew, carrying the pollen of many thousand-petaled lotuses to the shore. In the middle of Vrindavan is the Lord's personal realm of 32 forests, which is surrounded by walls and moats and is the site of a reddish courtyard having an eternal banyan trees. This courtyard is surrounded by 7 walls made of rubies. There are awnings decorated with strands of pearls, appearing like many millions of moons, and the splendid flags wave in the breeze. There were seen pathways that appeared to be paved with flowers and the singing of many bees. Numerous maddened peacocks and cuckoos were heard. Many women were seen as effulgent as 100 moons, wearing sunrise earrings, walking about as they wished, noticing their beautiful faces reflected in the jewels, running in the jeweled courtyard decorated with necklaces, bracelets and tinkling ankle bells, and appearing most splendid with jewels in the hair. At door after door, there were seen millions and millions of beautiful cows, as glorious as white mountains, decorated with glittering ornaments, young, full of milk, endowed with good character and great beauty, their tails yellowish and appearing to be personifications of happiness as they walked about with their calves, who were decorated with tiny bells, their bells and anklets tinkling, appearing splendid with gold necklaces and flower garlands, and the horns covered with gold. These cows were of many different wonderful colours, some pink, some green, some red, some yellow, some black, some smoke-coloured, and some the colour of cuckoos. These cows give oceans of milk and are marked with the signs of youth, leap like deer, and are very beautiful and decorated with many calves. Wandering among the cows were many great bulls, opulent with long horns and necks and appearing to be very pious. Also seen were many handsome cowherd boys carrying flutes and holding sticks. With very charming melodies, they were singing about Krishna's pastimes. After bowing down to offer respects to demigods, entered the Lord's personal forest grove, which was a 1,000-petaled lotus, appearing as a great circle of light. Above that was a 16-petaled lotus, above that an 8-petaled lotus, and above that a long path leading to 3 stairways. There the demigod saw, seated on a splendid throne bedecked with beautiful Kustuba jewels, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, surrounded by 8 splendid gopi friends headed by Mohini and served by 8 gopas headed by Sri Dharma. Because they would never have seen anything like this, even in the heavenly planets. Lord Krishna's left arm was decorated with Sri Radhika. His right foot was bent as he wished. He held a flute and smiled gently and gracefully, his eyebrows and chanting hosts of Kamadevs.
Where is
all this from? Gaga Samhita. Gaga Samhita. Gaga was the... he performed the name-giving ceremony for Krishna. So, Krishna held a flute and smiled gently and gracefully. His eyebrows and chanting hosts of Kamadevas. Krishna looked splendid, like a newly formed rain cloud. His large eyes appeared like lotus petals. His arms were long and he wore yellow garments. On his chest hung a beautiful forest garland filled with the sounds of intoxicated bees. So generally, I don't read a lot of pastimes in our, apart from what's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but there are some very extremely important points within the birth of Krishna, particularly how the Nitya Siddhas and Sadhana Siddhas end up in Krishna's pastimes, and this tells this. But our interest in that is that it gives us, you know, we can see, yes, now I know how to get back to the spiritual world. You know, you become perfected as a devotee, Krishna will place you in a universe, he'll put you amongst some demigods just before he appears, and then from those demigod families you'll appear in Krishna's families, and then you perform pastimes and then go back to Godhead. That's why we're reading, to understand that process. But that's all described here. So, Lord Krishna appeared splendid with nice bracelets, anklets and a belt. He wore a glittering, charming and very glorious smile. He appeared most handsome with the mark of Shribats and a jewel placed in his curly locks of hair. He appeared most attractive, wearing a crown, necklace, armlets and earrings. Being very happy, as if merged in an ocean of ecstasy, their eyes brimming with tears, the demigods joined their palms and bowed down their heads, offering obeisances to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, Bahulasra is asking Narada Muni, what did the demigods do when they saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, who is greater than the greatest? Narada said, as all the demigods looked on, Lord Hari, the eight-armed master of Vaikuntha, so you've heard about the avatar Hari, this is what he looked. He appeared and then merged into the body of Lord Krishna. The ferocious and powerful Lord Nrisimha, who was as effulgent as millions of suns, then merged into Lord Krishna's effulgence. Next, the master of Svetadvip, who possesses 1,000 arms, arrived, riding on a splendid chariot drawn by 100,000 horses, appearing incredibly opulent with many weapons, accompanied by the goddess of fortune and served by many associates. He suddenly also merged into the body of Sri Krishna. Next, the lotus-eyed Lord Ramchandra came in a golden chariot that was as effulgent as 100 million suns. The chariot produced a great rumbling sound with its 10,000 wheels. It was decorated with 10,000 flags and pulled by 10,000 horses. He held bow and arrows and looked most glorious along with Sita. He was accompanied by his brothers and countless monkey warriors, and he was worshipped with the waving of chamras. Suddenly, Lord Ramchandra merged into the body of Lord Krishna. Next, Lord Jagya arrived in a wonderful chariot accompanied by his consort Dakshina. He also suddenly merged into the body of Lord Krishna. Then Lord Naranarayan appeared, having large eyes, four arms, and was dressed as a sage. He appeared splendid like a dark cloud. His matted hair resembled a flash of lightning, and he observed an unbroken vow of celibacy. While surrounded by multitudes of foremost sages, Lord Naranarayan suddenly merged in the handsome, dark form of Lord Krishna. As everyone looked on, their hearts filled with wonder. The demigods could now understand that Sri Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. With this newfound realization, the demigods offered their prayers. Our obeisance to Sri Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, greater than the greatest, the master of sacrifices, the cause of all causes, the lover of Radha, the most perfect, and the Lord of Goloka. The masters of yoga say that you are the Brahman effulgence, whereas the great devotees say that you have a form. Today we have understood your lotus feet. Our obeisance is unto you, the master of the Brahman effulgence. So See, they've understood. When it says the Lord has lotus feet, he's actually got feet. And effulgence. We take shelter of you, the unborn supreme Lord, who is free from the material modes, who is beyond the world of matter, who cannot be described by materially conceived words. The greatest philosophers are unable to describe you, either directly, indirectly, or by the most oblique hint. Some teach that you are the greatest, some say that you are time, some preach that you are the sum total of everything. Some describe you as karma, some say that you are the foremost yogi, whereas others say you are the original cause. We take shelter of you, who cannot be perfectly known by all these words. O Lord, those who reject the auspicious service of your lotus feet and instead visit holy places, perform sacrifices and austerities, and try to cultivate spiritual knowledge, are defeated by a host of obstacles. How miserably they fail. What request shall we place before you today? Pure-hearted devotees whose forms are not material simply offer you respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, as the witness of everything, resides in everyone's heart. O Lord, you are a necklace of moons that Sri Radha places over her heart. You are the source of life for the gopis' eyes. You are a flag over Goloka. You are the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. O Lord, please protect us, the demigods, from all calamities. O Master of Vrindavan, O King of Braja, O Lord who enjoys cowherd pastimes eternally, O Lord of Radha, O Master of all great philosophers, O Lifter of Govardhan Hill, O Lord who can accomplish any impossible task, please save us. In a voice that resounded like thunder, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the King of Gokul, replied to the demigods who lay prostrate before him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Shiva and other demigods, hear my words. By my order, you and your wives should appear by your Amsa expansions in the family of the Yadus on the earth. I will also descend to remove the earth's burden as you desire. I will also appear as a member of the Yadu dynasty. The Vedas are my words. The Brahmanas are my mouth. The cows are my body. You demigods are my limbs. And my devotees are the life breath within my heart. Millennium after millennium, whenever the blasphemers impede religion, sacrifice and mercy, I descend myself. Okay. So I'll leave that section there. So, as you see, it's the same message that Brahma relayed back to the demigods by the Lord, but there's a little extra he didn't tell some of the other demigods. So, and basically what Brahma heard then, Brahma informed the demigods in verse 22 of this chapter. Now, so, in the next chapter, you know, just a little summary here of the Garga Samhita. Krishna says, O Shiva and other demigods, hear my words. By my order, you and your wives should appear by your Amsa expansions in the family of the Yadus on the earth. I will also descend to remove the earth's burden as you desire. I will also appear as a member of the Yadu dynasty. Yeah, some of the other interesting past things we covered last week. Now, I did read this little section here last week. how Radha was somewhat devastated mm-hmm. to hear that Krishna yes. was going. And then so Lord Krishna sent Govardhan, the Jamuna, like that. And Brahma asked, you know, where on the earth should I appear, you know, and where will you appear and things like that. A little bit more detail. And Krishna said, I will appear as the son of Devik in Vasudev. My transcendental Kala expansion, Sesha, will appear as the son of Rahini. The goddess of fortune will appear as Bhishmaka's daughter, Rukmini. Lord Shiva's consort will appear as Jambavati. Talas, then some of the eight wives of Krishna. Talasi will be born as Satya, and Basundra will be born as Satyabhama. Takshana will appear as Lakshmana. Viraj will appear as Kalindi. Hri will be born as Bhadra. Janavi, who destroys all sins, will be born as Mitravinda. Appearing as the son of Rukmini, Kamadev will be known as Pradyumna. You, meaning Brahma, will appear as his son. The Vasudrona will be born as Nanda, and Dara will appear as Yasoda. Suchandra will be born as Brishabhanu, and his wife Kalavati will appear in these pastimes as Kirti. From her, Radha will be born. Again and again, I will perform the Rasa dance in Braja with the gopis. So, you know, we will hear that Nanda and Yasoda were previously Drona and Dara.
Hmm.
Although...
In the spiritual...
No, the demigods.
Oh, so that's where
Nara
became Yasoda.
Yeah, so previously, as with a deity in Kashyapa,
mm.
you wouldn't have known that Nanda and Yasoda were there.
Mm.
Now, those demigods are allowed to appear with Nanda and Yasoda appearing as themselves.
Mm. Yeah. So this description, who is telling whom that Sevara Kamala Viraja become Kalindi?
Yeah, Krishna is actually saying, you know, these people.
So that is, they are the spiritual personalities in the spiritual world, right?
Yeah, so he's saying that, so for instance, in some cases, he's saying, you know, Sesha will appear as Balaram.
Mm.
So in one sense, you know, as we said, sometimes the Lord appears in a partial expansion, which quite often people just take as a demigod. So in this case, the Sesha expansion, which is like the partial confidential form of Balaram, is actually appearing in the full manifestation of Balaram.
So here the Lord is telling both demigods also, you will take this form, both the spiritual residents as well as the demigods.
Yeah. So basically he's saying that, you know, certain demigods will now appear. He's saying to the demigods, you will, like he's saying to Drona, you will appear as Yasoda. But in actuality, Yasoda is an eternal Nitya Siddha.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a whole discussion of how much Drona knows about the eternal nature of Nanda at this point. But they will be side by side in the same form. And
but weren't they together in other previous pastimes too?
What's that?
Nanda and Yashoda, weren't they together in the previous pastimes too? And that's
only they were there, but they were in confidentially. They were there with Drona and Dara when the Lord appeared previously.
And they have also prayed.
What's that?
They prayed for 1,000 years, they perform austerities.
Drona and Dara did.
Yeah.
Yasoda and Nanda don't have to perform austerities.
Yeah,
Drona
and they did.
Yeah. And Prishni and Satapa have to perform austerities. But Vasudeva and Devaki don't necessarily have to. But yes, they were along with them.
Yeah.
at that
it's
stage.
It's confusing when people who are Nityasiddhas and they are expanding, they have to perform austerities. This is really confusing.
It's quite mystical, isn't it?
It's very, because they are Nityasiddhas. They say that now they are coming to perform pastimes to the Lord. But now, from here, this description, though they are Nityasiddhas, they are performing austerities.
No, there's no austerity for the Nityasiddhas. But the austerity is for the demigods. Even though, you know, so some things happen side by side, but not everything that the Nityasiddhas who may be present with them is known to the demigods. Not everything is known to them. And, you know, when the Nityasiddhas come to this world, they're always in Vrindavan. They don't live a life of austerity, even though they're present and these things are happening. It says that in the Bhagavad Gita. One who understands the transcendental nature of the Lord becomes as free as the Lord. So, you know, Vishnu is in our heart now. He'd be performing a lot of austerities in my body. But he's completely free. The teachings of the Gita add is that when we understand the position of the Lord within the heart and our consciousness is totally aligned with his existence,
mm-hmm.
his Vaikuntha existence, we're as free as the Lord in Vaikuntha even within this body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the ABCs of the Bhagavad Gita. So we're going to take that here, right? So, therefore, if we can do that, if the Bhagavad Gita is saying we can do that, then what about the Nityasiddhas who accompany the Lord to this world? You know, they're in. You know, they're always in Goloka Vrindavan, and like that. So, you know, we know that when Lord Brahma. Later on in the pastimes, when Krishna does appear, again, well, you know, it's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that, you know, Brahma come to see Krishna in Dwarka, and Krishna asks, you know, which Brahma? Oh, you know, the four-headed Brahma. Four-headed Brahma? Oh, I don't know of other Brahmas, you know. And so then Krishna called the other Brahmas from many of the other universes. Some had 100 heads, a million heads, I don't know. Brahma can see them, but I don't think everyone else in that room, only Brahma could see that. You see? So a pastime took place in, you know, with many other personalities.
Yeah.
Brahma could see that, perhaps Narada Muni, but everyone else just saw Brahma and Krishna. They didn't see what Krishna and Brahma saw. That all the other, that basically the mystical event is this, is those Brahmas, from what I understand, in their universes, were called to Krishna in their universe and went to Krishna in their universe and bowed down. And because Dwarka is not constrained by time and space, Brahma could see that as if they're all in the one room, but they're all coming.
Do you mean Vrindavan or Dwarka?
Dwarka. No, Dwarka. No, all the Brahmas come to the Brahmas. They went to Dwarka in their universe. And
this was also mentioned in Krishna book.
Yeah, the Krishna book, yeah. Point is that the Lord's pastimes, you know, literally the Brahmas of the various universes can be bound down to Krishna in their Dwarka. Brahma can see that because Dwarka is non-different from the Dwarka in any of the universes. So, for instance, when Krishna leaves his, you know, his 16,108 palaces and goes to the assembly house, only one Krishna walks into the assembly house. But actually, 16,108 Krishnas left the palaces, but only one was seen getting in the chariot and going to the assembly house. So, you know, pastimes happen in the presence even of Krishna's devotees, and only some Krishna's, his pastimes are not limited in any way by time or space. So these Nitya Siddhas, they experience pastimes as Krishna likes them to experience them, not under the constraints of being in a demigod's body, that they are somehow suffering or enjoying the material life that that particular demigod is in that universe. They're just beyond that. But the basic ABCs of the Bhagavad Gita is, if we can fully understand our relationship with the Lord in our heart, we can become as free as the Lord even while we're in this body, because the Lord is completely free. Well, he's in Vaikuntha, right? So just bear that in mind. Just ABCs. Very simple ABCs of Bhagavad Gita. Nothing more than that. All right? So, and, you know, we hear that in the Bhagavad Gita, and this is how it plays out. You know, so we get a glimpse of that, and we think, wow, you know, as free as the Lord. Can't imagine that. Here's an example. You know. Yeah. These Nitya Siddhas appearing, they don't have to perform austerities. But they may be there, you know, with that demigod who is. They have to perform austerities. Okay. So, now, moving on to chapter 4. Now, we're going to come to the point here where we're going to discuss a little bit about some of the groups. I can skip it if you like. Different groups of gopis.
Mm.
Want to hear that?
Chapter 4 of the Gauda Sutta.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so it starts like this. Krishna says, the Supreme Personality of God had said, my dear friends, Sri Dham and Subal will appear in the homes of Nanda and Upananda. Stoka Krishna Arjun, that's the Gopa one, and Amshu will appear in the homes of Nanda's relatives, my friends Vishal, Rishabh, Tejasvi, Devaprasa and Bharuta will be born in the families of six relatives of King Brishabhanu. Brahma asked, who is Nanda? Who is Brishabhanu? The master of the demigods, please tell us. And I did read this, that you know, that he described that they have so many cows, and, you know, millions and millions of cows and things like that. So, now, before I said how some of the Nitya Siddhas appear at certain times and some appear, and the Sadhana Siddhas appear after, it's from the Ananda Brindavan Champu, chapter 2, where Kavikarnapurna is saying, Sri Nanda, Yashoda, and others appeared in the Brihadvan Mahavan before the Lord. The gopis and other eternally liberated associates appeared after the Lord. Then those who had attained perfection by sadhana, namely the Shruti Charis and Muni Charis, took birth in Vrindavan. So they're sort of always a little bit junior. Which makes
sense.
Sadhana Siddhas. Yeah. Shruti Charis, Muni Charis, I don't know. We're going to hear about them. We may as well hear about it now, because I think when we get to chapter 88, I think it is, it's a long way off, we're going to hear about them. Could be a year, could be 2 years. We may as well hear it now,
yeah,
because it's relevant. And then we're just a little refresher then. I won't go into it too much. There are some things we can hear then, but I'll give you the main gist of it. Now, a little summary here, which is helpful, since we're talking about sadhana siddhas and nitya siddhas. Vishwanath Chakravarti, the core, summarizing Srimad Bhagavatam, etc., has, for our benefit, just categorize them very simply.
Mm-hmm.
And that summarization you'll find in the appendix 2 of Na Paraye Hum. Shiva. Yeah. So, and he says that two categories of sadhana siddhi gopis, the Shruti Chari and Rishi Chari gopis, right? In addition, there are sadhikas of other origins, as mentioned in Raghavatma Chandrika. The classification of these sadhana siddhas is shown in the following outline. So this is a very brief outline, but it's really good to get this. So, first group of sadhana siddha gopis are the Shrutachari gopis, sometimes called Munichari gopis.
They're different, right? Shruti Chari and Munichari.
No, they're the same. Oh, they're the same?
Yeah. Okay, I think
Rishi
Chari is Munichari because
munis
are coming from the
Dantagarnya. Chari is
from the
Dantagarnya. No. The Shruti Charis, the ones at the beginning of creation, right? And they're called Munichari as well.
Oh, okay.
The other ones from the Dandakaranya are called Rishi Charis.
Okay.
Right? So, now, and they're the second group.
Rishi Charis.
Yeah. But they have a couple of subcategories.
Mm.
Basically, those with Purva Raga and those without Purva Raga who conceive children.
Rishis with Purva Raga and without.
Yeah, the ones without who can they conceive children. I'll come to that.
Without they conceive children.
Yeah, those without Purva Raga who conceive children.
Yeah.
Right. Now. And they have three groups, those, you know, without, who conceive children. Those whose Purva Raga develops after conception. Or those whose Purva Raga develops after being restrained from going to the Maharasa. And then there are other sadhakas, you know, without Purva Raga.
After conception, second one is?
Those whose Purva Raga develops after being restrained from going to the Maharasa. So basically, no. So you got other. They're just called other sadhakas.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, there are other sadhakas without Purva Raga,
yeah.
And it may develop at a certain time. Now, when we get to chapter 29, we're going to discuss a lot of information here. I won't go into all of it now. We're going to come back to this in even greater detail. But so we're just getting a synopsis, you know, the essence of it, and even that's a lot.
And one question about the Sudhachari, so they are the personified Vedas.
Yes.
So their prayer, when exactly it took place?
Okay. Well.
And that corresponds to the 87th chapter of the 10 Cantos, right? The prayer for the personified Vedas.
Yeah, that's I think chapter 88.
Yeah. So when that actually fit into the creation? When exactly?
Okay. Well, that would have been, as far as I understand, the beginning of this day of Brahma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that is after Brahma's appearance, like after.
As far as I understand, yeah, it'd be in this day of Brahma.
Yeah, because Brahma is always associated or accompanied by or surrounded by the personified Vedas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Uh, here, you know, the easiest way to get a summary of this is what Krishna says about some of these in his Krishna book. That's a nice summary. In chapter 29 of the Krishna book, Prabhupada says this: the gopi associates of Krishna who assembled in the place where Krishna was appearing were from different groups. Most of the gopis were eternal companions of Krishna, as stated in the Brahma Samhita and under Chinmaya Rasa Padibhavitabhi. In the spiritual world, the associates of Krishna, especially the gopis, are manifestations of the pleasure potencies of Lord Krishna. They are expansions of Srimati Radharani. But when Krishna exhibits his transcendental pastimes within the material world in some of the universes, not only the eternal associates of Krishna come, but also those who are being promoted to that status from the material world. So again, this theme, which is, you know, why we're studying this. Some of the gopis who joined Krishna's pastimes within this material world were coming from the status of ordinary human beings. If they had been bound by fruit of action, they were fully freed from the reaction of karma by constant meditation on Krishna. Their severely painful yearnings, caused by their not being able to see Krishna see Krishna, freed them from all sinful reactions, and their ecstasy of transcendental love for Krishna in his absence ended all the reactions to material pious activities. The conditioned soul is subjected to birth and death either by pious or sinful activities, but the gopis who began to meditate on Krishna transcended both positions and became purified and thus elevated to the status of the gopis already expanded by his pleasure potency. Now, so the gopis, especially those who had husbands and they had children, were restrained by their husband from going to Krishna when he called the gopis in the dead of night for the Maha Rasa dance.
But some of them go, right?
Yes, yes. So
even though they had family, children, etc.
Well, some of them eventually were allowed to go, not necessarily on that one, but on subsequent rasas. But that time of intense separation created, you know, and the transcendental ecstasy that come from that was the last. It was so intense, it just completely purified every last trace of material existence. And we'll look at that a little later. So
they have one rasa every season, Prabhu?
Yeah.
Four rasa,
what?
Four rasa dams. One per season or?
Daily.
Every day.
Yeah. There are the Maharasas, but daily they will have some, but then there are bigger events.
Yeah.
So, you know, this in the Padma Purana, Prabhupada quotes this in one of his purports, it is understood that some of the gopis were personified Vedic literatures, while others are reborn sages, daughters of cowherds or demigod maidens, but by no means, my dear king, are any of them ordinary humans. Yeah. Okay, so there's a lot there we got to come back to when we get to chapters 29 and 32. Now here's what Krishna says, what Prabhupada says about the Rishichari, so the sages of Saranga. This is from Krishna book chapter 32. The gopis who were gathered there had almost been followers of the Vedas. In their previous births, during the Lord Ramchandra's advent, they had being Vedic scholars who desired the association of Lord Ramchandra in conjugal love. Now, of course, you know, they were also meditating upon the Gopal mantra, as far as I understand. So,
Gopal mantra.
Yeah, so, you know, they were meditating on Krishna. And I'll read a little verse. So, you know, they're explaining, in other words, we'd like to have that relationship with Krishna as Sita has with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. What's that?
In Rama's association, how do you take the Gopal mantra?
The Gopal mantra is always there. It's in the Vedas. It's in the Vedas. Yeah. So, in the previous births, during the Lord Ramchandra's advent, they had been Vedic scholars who desired the association of Lord Ramchandra in conjugal love. You know, perhaps through someone like Narada Muni, you know, in his Narada, you know, Bhakti Sutras and etc. Now, Ramchandra had given them the benediction that they would be present for the advent of Lord Krishna and he would fulfill their desires. During Krishna's advent, the Vedic scholars took birth in the shape of gopis in Vrindavan. As young gopis, they got the association of Krishna in fulfillment of their previous birth desire. The ultimate goal of their perfect desire was attained, and they were so joyous that they had nothing further to desire. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. If one attains the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he has no desire for anything. When the gopis had Krishna in their company, not only all their grief, but their lamenting in the absence of Krishna was relieved. They felt they had no desire to be fulfilled. Fully satisfied in the company of Krishna, they spread their cloths on the ground. These garments were made of fine linen and smeared with a red kumkum, which decorated their breasts. With great care, they spread a sitting place for Krishna. Krishna was their life and soul, and they created a very comfortable seat for him. So they enjoyed many, many nice pastimes. They just didn't get an invitation to the ball, the dance. So, so, okay, Garga Samhita, chapter 4 continued. The Supreme Personality of God had said, in my Braja, there will be hundreds of groups of beautiful, beautifully dressed gopis, their faces appearing like countless full moons. Lord Brahma said, O friend of the poor, O Lord, O original cause of the universes, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, kindly describe these groups of gopis. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Brahma, great sages say that one, a Buddha, is equal to 100 million. In each group of gopis, there are 10 Abuddhas. Rama, Marumalavi, Viraj, Lalita, and Vishaka will each lead a group. There will be groups led by 8 principal gopis, by 16 principal gopis, by 32 principal gopis. Some of these gopis were the personified Vedas, some were the great sages, some were women in Mithila, some were the women of Kosala, some were the women of Ayodhya, some were the Jagyasitas, and some were Pulinda girls. In previous millennia, they had received a benediction from me that they would become gopis in my beautiful Braja. So, again, just a little something from Ananda Vrindavan Champu. He tends to put a lot of information just very eloquently. That he says that when the eternally liberated gopis appeared, the Shrutis personified also appeared in the homes of other gopis because they had previously cultivated a desire to serve Sri Krishna as Brajagopis. The Dandakaranya sages, upon seeing the Svakya Bhava, the sweet conjugal relationship of Lord Ramchandra with Sita Devi, desired to have the same relationship with their Madana Gopal. Upon attaining perfection in their sadhana, they achieved the fortunate position of appearing as gopis in Vrindavan. Yogamaya appeared invisibly in Gokul to arrange this and perform other difficult tasks on behalf of the Lord. So then Brahma wants, you know, a little bit more information about how they got this good fortune, you know, to get these benedictions, you know, which is unattainable even by the greatest of yogis. So this is from Garga Samhita, which is a summary of how the personified Vedas became gopis. Mm. When in Svetadvip, the personified Vedas offered prayers to him, Vishnu, with very eloquent words, the Lord became pleased. At that time, Lord Hari said, "Choose a benediction, whatever your heart desires, what is difficult to attain, for those with whom I am pleased." In reply, the personified Veda said, "Because you are beyond the range of the material mind and senses, we cannot perfectly understand you. If you wish to give us a benediction, please reveal to us your transcendental form, which the scholars of the Puranas say is full of bliss." Upon hearing this, the Lord revealed to the personified Vedas his transcendental abode, where there is eternal bliss and where decay and death are absent. In that transcendental abode of the Lord, the personified Vedas saw the forest of Vrindavan, which displays the opulence of beautiful trees that fulfill all desires and which brings happiness in every season. In Vrindavan, there is the hill named Govardhan, which has beautiful caves and swiftly moving streams, which is made of jewels and precious minerals, and which is filled with graceful birds. There is the river Jamuna, which is the best of rivers, which has pure and delicious water, and which is filled with lotuses, swans, and other flowers and birds, and which has the shores made of precious jewels. There the personified Vedas saw the infallible Lord, whose form is that of a youth, standing among the gopis, intoxicated by tasting the nectar of the rasa dance. Having revealed the spiritual world, the Lord said, "What more shall I do for you? Tell me. You have been able to see my realm. There is no benediction better than this." The personified Vedas said, "When we see you in this way, more handsome than millions of karma days, our hearts become troubled with amorous desires so that we yearn to become beautiful girls. We wish to become beautiful gopis in Goloka who worship you as their lover." Lord Hari said, "Although your glorious desire is impossible to fulfill, I will grant it. When a new Brahma is born to create the universe and when the time of the Sarasvata Kalpa arrives, you will appear as gopis in Braja, on the earth, in Bharat Vash, in the district of Mathura, in Vrindavan, in the Rasa Dance Circle. I will become your beloved, passionately loving me as your Parama. You will all become perfect." The Supreme Personality of Godhead concluded, saying, "Because of this previous Kalpa's benediction, the personified Vedas will appear as gopis."
This happened in the previous Kalpa.
Yes, and therefore it would appear that, as we said, in this Kalpa, Brahma is born again, almost like a new Brahma, but it's the same Brahma. Mm. This is saying from a previous Kalpa, it would appear that, you know, at the end of the last Kalpa, when we have this such a big devastation, you know, they offer these prayers to the Lord, you know, before Brahma appears again, and then when he appears again, they wait, you know, until you know, this particular time to be to take birth when Krishna appears as gopis. So, so now, okay, and we also previously discussed that in order to attain the conjugal love of Krishna, one must follow in the footsteps of the gopis. And, you know, literally, we do that, we do that either as sadhana bhaktas or and gradually come to prema bhaktas, and still we're following in the footsteps of the braja gopis, the eternally liberated souls.
So how was they did that, this Shruti Charis? How they got that practice, basically, sadhana, how they perform that sadhana?
Yeah, so we do that in the sadhana stage by, as we're doing here, hearing and chanting about the pastimes of the Lord. And when that one who wants to develop that loving attachment to Krishna, then their hearing and chanting will gradually, you know, have a prominence of, you know, those hearing and chanting related to the love of God demonstrated by the Brajabasis and also by the gopis. So the hearing and chanting will have a prominence. So that's how we do it in sadhana.
So it's applicable for them, the personified Vedas as well?
What's that?
It is applicable for personified Vedas.
Yes, well, you know, I mean, if they were chanting the Gopa mantra...
They were too, they were also chanting.
Yeah, they were chanting the Gopa mantra. So, you know, they were chanting that. And, personified Vedas, did they chant?
Oh, yeah, that's about you're saying.
Yeah.
Rishi Charis.
Yeah, the Rishi Charis. Mm. But as far as I understand, generally, yeah, the Rishi Charis definitely were. But that Gopala mantra, you know, generally one, that is the mantra, you know, even in Sada. There's not like another mantra, you know, that is the mantra that you chant.
Yeah, Gopala mantra definitely has that.
Yeah. It's what you practice in sadhana, chanting that Gayatri mantra, along with your hearing and chanting about Krishna. So, okay, so there's a couple of pages here that discuss from the Chaitanya Charitamrita about how you must follow in the footsteps of the gopis and how that is done, which I just summarise very quickly. And if we don't do that, even if you're the goddess of fortune, you cannot achieve that same relationship with Krishna. But so we're going to skip a few pages here. We'll come to this later on when we discuss the, you know, the what do they call that? The Panchadaya Gita or something. Five chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam dealing with Krishna and the gopis. Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to now hear, these are much shorter, but how the women of Mithila became gopis.
Mithila,
yeah.
Oh, this is where from?
In the pastimes of Ram.
Ramayana?
This is from the Gaga Samhita still, yeah. And at the beginning, Krishna said, you know, he gave a whole list of different gopis. Now we're getting a further description of that list. So Krishna is speaking to Brahma. To protect the devotees and kill the demons, the Lord appeared in the Treta Yuga as King Dasarath's son, the hero Ramchandra. The lotus-eyed Ram went to Sita's Svayamvara, broke the bow and married Janaka's daughter Sita. When they saw him, all the married women of Mithila were overcome with desire. In a secluded place, they approached the Lord and said, O descendant of Raghu, please become our husband. Rama, so imagine, you know, such chaste women, how beautiful the form of Ram was, that such chaste women in this era of Ram were just so, yeah, you know, just do this. They've lost control. Ram, the king of the Raghavas, replied to them, O women, don't be unhappy. At the end of the Dwapara Yuga, I will fulfill your desire. With great faith and devotion, go on pilgrimage, give charity, perform austerities and follow the rules of cleanliness. Thereafter, you will appear as gopis in Braja. So, you know, there appear to be two opinions, whether Ram appeared in the previous Treta Yuga,
mm-hmm.
or whether he appeared in the... there's a couple of cycles back in that Treta Yuga.
Mm.
You know, because you see also in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, when Krishna describes how long it's been since the Treta Yuga, because it describes it in the Dwapara Yuga, knowledge was given to Manu and then to Ishvaku in the Dwapara Yuga. And Prabhupada calculates that, you know, going back about, you know, that... so Prabhupada makes two statements in such a way that either, you know, it's, you know... This time of Ram was back then, you know, it was like that, or he, you know, just says, you know, a general statement that as long as I think he says as long as it's been in human society since the time of Ikshvaku or Manu or something like that. But he makes two statements. One that just it means that, you know, even the way Prabhupada's written that verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Fourth chapter, it appears that his sort of his purport verifies both. You know, that it was either the previous Treta Yuga or that, okay, at least, you know, it goes way back. If you read his purport there, you see what I mean.
Is there a specific name for this gopis who are present in Lord Ram's first?
The Mithila gopis. So then the women of Kosala. After giving the women of Mithila this benediction, Lord Rama, who is an ocean of mercy and an expert bowman, defeated Parashuram and then went to the country of the Kosalas. He went there with Vishvamrita.
Isn't that where his mother's from?
Possibly, yeah. And so when they saw the handsome Lord Ram, who was more charming than a host of Karma Devas, the women of Kosala chose him with their hearts to be their husband. in his heart, the all-knowing Brahma awarded these women this benediction: you will become gopis in Brunja so that I can fulfill your desire. So within his heart, he spoke to them and they understood that he'd given them that benediction.
Wouldn't she feel bad?
The goddess of fortune?
Yeah.
Because she's missing out?
Well, no, that she's sharing her husband with that many women.
Well, no, because... The goddess of fortune, you know, the Halidini Shakti, has three principal expansions as Radharani and the Gopis, as the queens of Dwarka, and such personalities, and as the goddess of fortune. So the Halidini Shakti is that one spiritual blissful potency of the Lord, but that spiritual potency expands in different varieties, from, you know, Radha and the Gopis to the queens of Dwarka to the, you know, the goddess of fortune, who is the one consort. Devotees who want to enjoy the conjugal rasa, they interact with Krishna's Ladini Shakti, which is a via medium between them and Krishna. And Krishna's between the Halini Shakti is a via medium between the living entities who enjoy that rasa with Krishna, and Krishna, who's enjoying that conjugal rasa with the living entities, is reciprocating the Halini Shakti with them. It's a via medium. The goddess of fortune, therefore, you know, it is expanding, you know, the and Ladini Shakti, who's fully personified as Radha, is not just personified as those personalities, but the Ladini Shakti is also personified by their pastimes. So what happens is when they engage in those pastimes with the, you know, internal energy of the Lord, you know, they're increasing the unlimited bliss of the Halidini Shakti. They're not reducing it. They're increasing, they're expanding the bliss of the Halidini Shakti, who is the goddess of fortune, who is the queens of Dwarka, who is Radharani. So they're expanding the bliss of the, you know, the Halidini Shakti is expanding the bliss of Krishna. Krishna is expanding the bliss of the Halidini Shakti, and the living entities are expanding the bliss of Krishna and Halidini Shakti. So it's not a, it's not like in the material world where, you know, either you love this one or you love that one. It's not like that. It is actually expanding bliss for everyone. Everyone is experiencing expanding bliss. There's a different concept. and that expanding bliss can come in the form of separation. Well, now Krishna was with this one. Yeah. But, you know, so there are some, we'll get to that, but yeah. Anyway, so how the women of Ayodhya became gopis. When Lord Ram returned to Ayodhya with Sita, the women went to see the joy of the Raghu dynasty. Upon seeing him, these women became bewildered and many fainted, being overwhelmed by feelings of love. Thereafter, with a vow to attain Lord Ram, they performed austerities on the banks of the river Saraya. A voice from the sky then announced, at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, in the forest by the river Jamuna, your desire will be fulfilled. And how the Dandaka Aranya sages became gopis. A little bit more information in this one. So I'll discuss some of the quotes from Prabhupada's books. It's now there's a lot of writings, you know, the Puranas, as we said. How do we know the Dandakaranya sages, the sages of Dandakaranya were reciting the Gopala Mantra? Because there are different Puranas which are telling us this. What the Goswamis did was they compiled all this information to see what was their sadhana, for these various people. And as we see from the Acharyas, they also, give us a breakdown of, what are the levels of love and the varieties of love. Some of our esteemed devotees in ISKCON, such as Shivaram Swami, along with many of his fellow sannyasis and devotees, have read these, all of these, and discussed amongst themselves, and then he has summarized them in a very easy reading. Because there is summarization of our books and the Acharya's books, I'll recite little passages where it just takes a whole lot of information and he just summarizes it so much very nicely. So I very rarely do this, but I'll include this in, because otherwise what I have to do is read all the places where this comes from in Prabhupada's books and the Acharyas and what have you, and that would take forever. But he has done that and he's just put it in these nice little summaries. But if you take his book, you can read his whole book, which is a summary. And then what I've taken is every now and then he puts a couple of paragraphs which summarizes many chapters. And so I'll just put them in here. So they're,
Which book is this? The one which contains all the
This one's called Vainugita. And in his Vainugita, he also summarizes the same events from Garga Samhita. Because as I read through his Vainugita, I know, you've got this from Garga Samhita, I can see where he's getting it all from. So some of it's there.
The Vainugita, it is more summarizing from the chapters of 10th canto, it's more towards the...
Vainugita, of course, is the 21st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna plays his flute.
Yeah.
Krishna, he goes... that the gopis hear Krishna's flute, so it describes how, even after he's gone, there's still, that sound of Krishna's flute is having different effects on their loving. So it's very much dealing with conjugal love and their mood of separation. So this is from chapter 3. In days gone by, Lord Ramchandra, so this is, and all this will be about the Dandakaranya sages. Lord Ramchandra, in the association of Lakshmana Sita, wandered in exile for 14 years. In the forest of Dandakaranya, there were many sages whose method of sadhana followed in the wake of the Braja Gopis. When these sages saw the beauty of Sri Ram, possessing broad shoulders, lotus eyes, a gentle smile and a kind demeanour, they were reminded of their personal object of worship, Gopal. Rising from their seats, they greeted him whose beauty was like that of millions of Kamadevas and said, "Here is Lord Gopal, who has come to our hermitage without his flute and stick." Bowing down before Sri Ramchandra, offering many eloquent prayers, they pleased the all-knowing Lord, who addressed them in the following way. "O sages, I am very pleased by your austerities and mode of worship. Please choose a benediction for me. The sages had a desire for conjugal relationship with the Lord. Being in their bodies as males, they were embarrassed to express their desires, and remaining silent, simply thought in their minds, yata sita tata sabe, as cedar is, let all become. Share it around. Share the love around. So, speaking aloud, Sri Ram said, had you asked this request of Brother Lakshman, I would arrange for the fulfillment of your desires today.
Oh, poor Lakshman.
He coughs it, doesn't he? However, I have vowed to accept only one wife, and I am never false in my promise. To become as Sita is not possible at present. Dear sages, do not fear. At the end of the Dwapara Yuga, you will all become as Sita, and at that time I will fulfill your desire. Yes, there's a nice brotherly relationship here, you know, a little joking between Ram and Lakshman. With this, Sri Ram bestowed his blessings and left for Panchavati with his dear wife and devoted brother. In this way, Ramchandra bestowed his causeless mercy upon the sages. Though sincere sadhikas, they were still incomplete in their worship. Thus, Lord Ramchandra elevated them I can wait till you come back. We can pause here. Let's pause it. Just pause it for a minute. Yeah. I might as well go to the bathroom as well. Yeah. Hold that thought. With this, Sri Ram bestowed his blessings and left for Panchavati with his dear wife and devoted brother. In this way, Ramchandra bestowed his causeless mercy upon the sages. Those sincere sages, they were still incomplete in their worship. Thus, Lord Ramchandra elevated them to the mature platform of spontaneous devotion, surpassing the stages of firm faith, attraction, and attachment. Although the sages were attracted by the beauty of the Lord, as a consequence of their male forms, Ramchandra's vow to accept only one wife and their lack of complete purity, they were unable to fulfill their desires in that lifetime. Under the direction of Sri Ram, Yogamaya arranged for the sages to take birth from the wombs of Brajagopis. When they reached puberty, they manifested all the symptoms of Purvaraga for Sri Krishna, and by the association of the eternally liberated gopis, all remaining contamination in their hearts burned up. Finally, they achieved the advanced stages of prema, sneha, mana, up to mahabhava, and by good fortune attained the ultimate perfection. Of the many groups of gopis in Vrindavan, those who come from the sages of Dandakaranya forest are known by devotees as the Rishi Chari gopis. Okay, now, again, there are taking a lot of quotes from, you know, Nectar Devotion and the Goswamis and the commentaries and you know, the this topic here, with all the, you know, a huge amount of reading, I have summarized the whole lot into one paragraph. This is, in Treta Yuga, the Dandakaranya sages attained Sambandha Jnana and then realized their Stayi Bhava, or permanent devotional sentiment, by chanting the Gopal Mantra. In their next lives, they took birth from the wombs of gopis. At this stage of Swarup Siddhi, there is no more need of chanting this Gopal Mantra. by directly associating with Gopal himself and his eternal associates like the gopis, and hearing and chanting about his pastimes, they attained Vastu Siddhi and entered Krishna's eternal pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. The Gopal mantra is needed in the stage of sadhana, but not in the stage of perfection. Gopala mantra and Karma Gayatri help the sadhaka to chant the Sudha Naam, the pure name of Krishna. Chanting these Gayatri mantras brings Sambandha Jnana, the feeling of a particular sentiment or bhava, and finally manifests as one's eternal swarup. All further purification, realizations and refinements of sentiments will arise from absorption in Nam Sankirtan. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Srila Sanatana Goswami concludes that the Nam Sankirtan is the best and most powerful method for attaining Braja Prema of Radha and Krishna because it powerfully draws the devotee toward Krishna. So there's a progression, understanding one's relationship with Krishna, practicing as a sadhana, chanting the Gopala mantra, elevating oneself to Swarup Siddhi, understanding that there, particular mood of love is with Krishna and conjugal ras, but then Vastu Siddhi, actually attaining a spiritual body to engage in that relationship on the completely purified platform, and then in that stage of Swarup Siddhi and the hearing and chanting, when one understands that permanently situated on the transcendental platform, there is no material desire, one keeps one very, very much separate from any material dealings and material contaminations, acting as a spirit soul and yearning for, to be engaged in Krishna in a particular type of rasa, then through the hearing and chanting of the holy name and the pastimes of the Lord, under the guidance of Nitya Siddhas, such as Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada, and eventually in the association, then one gradually attains one's Vastu Siddhi, one's spiritual form, and all details of that. So, there's a little bit of a progression there. And Prabhupada, now, just to let you know that I'm not going off the track here, I want you to read Prabhupada saying the same things from Nectar Devotion, chapter 16, on spontaneous devotion further described. So Prabhupada says this: this development of conjugal love for Krishna is not manifested in women only. The material body has nothing to do with spiritual loving affairs. A woman may develop an attitude for becoming a friend of Krishna, and similarly, a man may develop the feature of becoming a gopi in Vrindavan. How a devotee in the form of a man can desire to become a gopi is just stated in the Padma Purana as follows. In days gone by, there were many sages in Dandakaranya. Dandakaranya is the name of the forest where Lord Ramachandra lived after being banished by his father for 14 years. At that time, there were many advanced sages who were captivated by the beauty of Lord Ram and who desired to become women in order to embrace the Lord. Later on, these sages appeared in Goloka Vrindavan when Krishna invented himself there, and they were born as gopis or girlfriends of Krishna. In this way, they attained the perfection of spiritual life. The story of the sages of Dandakaranya can be explained as follows. When Lord Ramchandra was residing in Dandakaranya, the sages who were engaged in devotional service there became attracted by his beauty and immediately thought of the gopis at Vrindavan, who enjoyed conjugal loving affairs with Krishna. So, you know, there in the pastimes of Lord Ram, if they're meditating on the Gopa mantra, and when they saw Lord Ram, you know, they're thinking, oh, you know, imagine how the gopis would love, you know, Krishna is with. So, you know, it's not as if they're unaware of these things. As we say, as Prabhupada says, Janaka was following the principles of Bhagavad Gita in the times of Lord Ram. In this instance, it is clear that the sages of Dandakaranya desired conjugal love in the manner of the gopis, although they were well aware of the Supreme Lord as both Krishna and Lord Ramchandra. They knew that although Ramchandra was an ideal king and could not accept more than one wife, Lord Krishna, being the full-fledged personality of Godhead, could fulfill the desires of all of them in Vrindavan. Very intelligent. So these sages also concluded that the form of the Lord Krishna is more attractive than that of Lord Ramchandra, and so they prayed to become gopis in the future lives to be associated with Krishna. So they're making these distinctions. Krishna hasn't even appeared, but, you know, they understand. Because he certainly spoke to the sun god, you know, in his line of reform. So then, very important here, Lord Ramchandra remained silent, and his silence shows that he accepted the prayers of the sages. Thus they were blessed by Lord Ramchandra to have association with Lord Krishna in their future lives. Sometimes I've done that. I've sent a letter, asked my spiritual master something. And if he sends me a letter back stating different things but hasn't said no to the particular thing, I take it as a yes. Anyway, enough of my cheekiness. Now, as a result of this benediction, they all took birth as women in the wombs of gopis at Gokul, and as they had desired in their previous lives, they enjoyed the company of Lord Krishna, who was present at that time in Goloka Vrindavan. The perfection of their human form of life was thus achieved by their generating a transcendental sentiment to share conjugal love with Lord Krishna. So they, as Prabhupada says, they were generating a transcendental sentiment. You know, it's something that's they're fostering purposely.
So, question time.
You've been waiting a long time, haven't you? Yeah, go on then. Yeah.
Okay. Now, one question is, these sages, they
were jivas
or they were, what was their status? Because they said they were performing
austerities
in the level of Vrindavan gopis.
Yep.
So were they actually jivas?
Jivas, yeah.
So that means this is an example of a jiva becoming a gopi.
Yes, by their
status. Earlier you were telling about heavenly planets and all that. That's one. Number two.
I can read you just a quick text to verify that. It's from the fifth Canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. The authorities of Vedic knowledge met Lord Ramchandra in Dandakaranya, and by their penances and austerities, they were allowed to enter into the Rasa dance. All right, next question.
Now, they say that as we are progressing in our spiritual life, we will know our eternal form. Because we have an eternal form. And that eternal form is fixed. We can't transcend that. And we are happy serving Krishna in that way. So then, were these sages, their eternal form was a gopi, and so that's why they decided that. Or every jiva can, if they want, they can decide that. Because the Swarup Sati, they say that you have an eternal form, and that's it, that's fixed. You realize it and you attain that.
Yes, we have an eternal relationship with Krishna, but it is possible to change.
It's possible to change, is it?
Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that because of, you know, I'll find the quotes. Probably, as we're going through here, they'll be in my notes. But that's coming from Prabhupada.
We can change.
Okay.
First time I'm doing this actually.
Generally, there's no need. But we do have to appreciate that Lord Chaitanya is specifically giving the opportunity to associate with Krishna in that conjugal mood, and you know, he is you know, inviting and allowing one to actually participate with Krishna in that conjugal relationship. So, you know. But anyway, very simply, the answer is yes. You know, it is possible. Okay, now, so, and as I say, much of that summary from Bhagavad Gita is also there. Let me go to some heater. But now I'll go to how the Panchavati girls became gopis. After awarding the benediction to the sages at Dandakaranya, Ram went to Panchavati and resided in a cottage. When they saw Ram, the local Aborigine girls became tortured with lust. Overcome with love, they grasped the dust from his lotus feet, intent on giving up their lives. Assuming the form of a brahmachari, Ram went to them and said, "O women, do not give up your lives without good reason. In Vrindavan, at the end of Dwapara Yuga, your desire will be fulfilled." After saying this, the brahmachari disappeared. Now, the Jagya deities. Thereafter, aided by the monkey kings, Lord Ramchandra defeated the demons, head of a Ravana, entered Lanka, and on a flower chariot carrying Sita, returned to his own city sometime later on. Because of criticism of the citizens, Ram, the king of kings, abandoned Sita in the forest. This brought great pain to the saintly devotees of this world. Whenever he performed the yajna, lotus-eyed Ram, following the rules of religion, made a golden deity of Sita. So she took the form of his assistant in the ceremonial functions. So when, you know, Lord Ram was performing a ceremonial function in his duty as king, he had a golden form of Sita sitting on his left. In Ram's palace, there were many of these yajna deities of Sita. One day they came to life and approached Ram to enjoy it with him. Ram, the king of the Raghu dynasty, said, "O beloved wives, I cannot accept you." Filled with love, these deities said to Ram, the son of Dasharatha, "Why do you not accept us? We are all Sita, the chaste daughter of the king of Mithila. We are half of your body. At the time of your yajnas, we were your assistants. You are a pious person. You know the teaching of the Vedas. Why do you speak as one who is impious? First you take our hand and then you reject us. From this you will incur sin." Sri Ram said, "Your words are correct. What you say to me is true. Still, I am religious king, and I vowed to accept only Sita as my wife. Therefore, at the end of Dwapara Yuga, you will appear in the transcendental land of Vrindavan, and there I will fulfill your desires. The Jagya deities of Sita will also appear as gopis in Braja. Now hear, O Brahma, about other gopis. Okay, and this will also finish with other different personalities who ended up in the pastimes. So we're on the final page or two. And this is chapter 5. The women of Rama Vaikuntha, the women of Svetadvip, the women of Urdhva Vaikuntha, the women who had taken shelter of Lord Ajita's lotus feet. Ajita, I think, is it's Korma, isn't it? First he appeared as Ajita, forearm form, then took the form of Korma. Yeah. The women of Lokachala and the daughters of Varuna will appear as gopis in Braja because of a benediction offered by Lord Narayan, the husband of Lakshmi. Some women from the heavenly planets, some women from the other planets, and some women acting under the control of the three modes of material nature will, because of various kinds of pious activities, appear as gopis in my pastimes. When they saw the most handsome Yajna avatar, the son of Ruchi, the demigoddesses were overcome by love for him. On Devala Muni's advice and with great devotion to me, they performed austerities in the Himalayas. O Brahmana, they will also appear as gopis in Braja. When Lord Dhanvantari disappeared from the earth, all of the medicinal herbs in Bharat Vas became unhappy. Because of this, they became ineffective. To regain their potency, these herbs transformed into beautiful women and performed austerities. When four yugas had passed, Lord Hari became pleased with them. Once when they saw the Lord in a great forest, they became enchanted by him. After hearing him say, please choose a benediction, they requested, please become our husband here. Lord Hari said, in Vrindavan at the end of Dwapara Yuga, you will appear as flowering vines and then transform into women in the arena of the Rasa dance. I promise you this. In Vrindavan, they will appear as beautiful and very fortunate flowering vine gopis, filled with love for me. When the women of the Jalandhara country saw Lord Hari, the husband of Brinda, they thought to themselves, may Lord Hari be our chosen husband. A voice from the sky then announced, worship Lord Narayan, the husband of Ram, and you will become like Brinda in Vrindavan. When Varuna's daughters saw Lord Hari as Sri Matsya, they became bewildered with love for him. By Lord Matsya's benedictions, they will also appear as gopis in Braja. There was a powerful king named Prithu who was a partial incarnation of me. After defeating his enemies, he, the best of kings, milked many desirable things from the earth. When the women of the city, Bahishmati, saw Lord Prithu, they became overwhelmed with love for me. Approaching Atri Muni, they said, O great sage, please tell us how the powerful King Prithu can become our husband. Sri Atri Muni replied, in meditation, make an offering of milk to the earth and she will give you a great impassable ocean of fulfilled desires. O Brahma, using their thoughts as a milk bucket, these women milk their desire from the earth in the form of a cow. In this way, they also will appear as gopis in Vrindavan. While residing at Mount Gandhamadana, Narayana Rishi manifested a host of the most beautiful apsaras to bewilder Kamadeva's army. When these apsaras wished to obtain him as their husband, the all-perfect Narayana Rishi assured them, you will appear as gopis in Braja so that your desire will be fulfilled. When the women of Sutala Loka saw Lord Vamanadeva, they became overwhelmed with love for him, and so to attain him, they performed austerities. O Brahmana, they will also appear as gopis in Braja. Serpent princesses who had worshipped Lord Sesha, desiring him as their husband, will appear in Braja and engage in Lord Balaram's Rasa dance.
These are all from Gargasamhita.
Yeah, all from Gargasamhita. And now, here, other persons apart from the gopis, we asked about Ashwatthama and people like that. So, Kashyapa will descend as Vasudeva and Aditya will appear as Devaki. Right? So we see the swapping box. Pranavasu will appear as Surasain. Dhruva Vasu will appear as Devaka. As Dhruva Vasu will appear as Devaka. Another Vasu will descend as Uddhava. Daksha will appear as a kind-hearted Akrura. Kuvera will appear as Hridika. Varuna will appear as Kritavarma. Vrachanabhari will descend as Gada. And Marut will appear as Ugrasena. I will give the kingdom to Ugrasena and care for protecting him. Ambarish will descend as Yudan. Prahlad will appear as Satyaki. Kirabdi will appear as Shantanu. And Dronavasu will appear as Bhishma. Devadasa will descend as Salya. That must be a different Drona. Bhaga as Dhritarashtra. Bhusha as Pandu. And King Dharma, the best of the devotees, as Yudhisthira. Vaya will descend as Bhima. Svayambhuva Manu will appear as Arjun. We also know that Indra appeared as the Namsa of Arjun as well. Satarupa will appear as Subhadra. And Savita will appear as Karna. The twin Isvini Kumaras will... What's that?
Who?
Savita. Savita.
Isn't that a female?
I don't think so.
Savita,
isn't that a name for female? It depends whether it's a long eye or a short eye, I think.
Oh, okay.
The twin Isvini Kumaras will descend as Nakula and Sahadev. Datta will descend as a heroic Balika. Vani will appear as Dronacharya. A partial incarnation of Kali will descend as Duryodhana. You know, that's a personified Kali as far as I know. Soma will descend... will descend as Duryodhana. A partial, you know. Soma will descend as Abhimanyu. Lord Shiva will appear in an expansion as Dronacharya's son, Ashwatthama. In this way, by my order, the demigods and their wives will appear in the families of the Yadus, Kurus, and other kings. Whenever I incarnated in the past, the goddess of fortune would also incarnate as my queen. This time she will incarnate as my 16,000 queens. Vrishabhanu was certainly very fortunate to have a daughter like Radha. This is Bahulasra's asana, Radha. Vrishabhanu was certainly very fortunate to have a daughter like Radha, who is a reservoir of transcendental qualities. Now, kindly narrate to me the history of Kalavati and Suchandra, who was the son of Mriga, the foremost king, and a plenary portion of Lord Hari. Narada Muni said, there was an illustrious king who had three daughters, Kalavati, Ratnamala, and Menaka. Of the three, Kalavati was a manifestation of Lord Hari and very intelligent. Kalavati was given in marriage to Suchandra. Ratnamala was married to Videha, and Menaka was married to the king of the Himalayas. From Ratnamala, Sita was born. And from Menaka, Parvati was born. They were endowed with all wonderful characteristics. Suchandra and Kalavati performed severe austerities on the banks of the river Gomati for 12 years, hoping to please Lord Brahma. Finally, when Lord Brahma appeared before them and requested them to ask for benediction, Suchandra came out from the anthill surrounding his body and requested with folded hands, "May I achieve liberation which is rarely attained?" Kalabhati requested, "Because the husband is the lord of the life, the lord of the wife, when he attains liberation, what will happen to me? If he is awarded liberation, then I will certainly cast off my life, but before I do, I will curse you." So we're going to curse Brahma. Upon hearing this, Brahma said, "I'm certainly afraid of your curse, and yet my benediction cannot prove false. Go now with your husband and enjoy the heavenly planets. After enjoying there for a long time, you will both be born on earth in Bharatvarsh. At the end of Dwapara Yuga, at that time, Krishna's beloved Radha will be born as your daughter. After that, both of you will return to the supreme abode of the Lord in the spiritual sky." Thereafter, Suchandra became Brishabhanu and Kalavata became Kirtida. Brishabhanu was more attractive than Cupid and he could remember his previous lives. He was very intelligent and he was a good friend of Nanda Maharaj. So, some of the demigods, apparently, after the pastimes of Krishna, were able to take the opportunity to become liberated and go back to the spiritual world, along with the Nitya Siddhas. Others, not necessarily so. They went back to the heavenly planets. That's right. Not exactly at that time. Perhaps later. Certainly a lot of purification.
Is it true that they said everyone who died in the Kurukshetra war got liberated?
Some went to the heavenly planets.
Mm. Okay, yeah. So they weren't necessarily liberated. They were sent to better destinations.
Yeah, they were liberated as we said, liberation is by degrees.
Yeah.
If one is liberated from enough sinful reactions, one can go to the heavenly planets.
Okay.
And if one is fully liberated,
mm-hmm.
Completely liberated from pious and impious reactions.
Yeah.
See, if you're not quite liberated from pious activities, you may go to the heavenly planets. If you're liberated from pious and impious activities, then there's no business for you in this world at all. And if you have the strong desire to attain the abode of the Lord and attain that loving devotion that you've seen, then you can go there. So depending on their particular desire,
So can I confirm, why I get confused is they say Kamsa. He used to constantly think of Krishna, but in a bad way. He wanted to kill him, he wanted to harm him, but he was constantly thinking of him. First it was out of fear that this is the person, when he's born he's going to kill me. And then once he was born it was all kinds of attempts to kill him or be afraid that he's going to come and kill me. So he was constantly thinking of Krishna.
Mm.
And that's why somebody told me he got liberated, because he was constantly thinking of Krishna. Even though he was thinking in a negative way, his mind was constantly engaged in Krishna. Is that true?
Yes, because he was associated with Krishna, even thinking of Krishna, the benefit is there. But the understanding also is that the way Kamsa thought of Krishna is not what we accept as Krishna consciousness.
Exactly. So then how is it that he is getting the highest benefit, even though he's technically met the condition because he's constantly thinking of Krishna, but he's thinking in a very bad way. He's not thinking in a way of love. He's in fact thinking in a way of hate.
Yeah.
But he got the highest benefit anyways.
It's a big discussion. Put that in the car park. We're getting there. We're getting there, but basically understand this, that it is not accepted as Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
In other words, real Krishna consciousness is favorable,
yes.
And Krishna consciousness which is unfavorable is not Krishna consciousness. Although, because there is some association with Krishna, and Krishna is so powerful and so merciful, then even that is very beneficial. The point being that if one tries to imitate Kamsa, one could end up in hell.
Yes.
Right? That's,
we
so,
don't want
yeah,
to imitate
yeah.
him, but it's just wanted to understand.
But he was personally killed by Krishna, but
yes.
if we imitate Kamsa, Krishna may not personally kill us, we might just get hit by a bus
yeah.
and suffer the reaction of all our offenses.
Okay, so you think
yeah.
it's because he was personally killed
oh, yeah.
by Krishna, that is the reason?
That's Krishna's mercy, that's purely Krishna's mercy, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay? So, but we'll cover that in greater...
People become like Jatila and all that, but always like even in Jatila Mata, Prabhu's pastime, there is one person, I don't know the name, who always keeps on criticizing and finding fault, saying Jatila Mata, Prabhu, you're eating too much, and that sort of thing. And, and even in the spiritual world, you have that. So, is it that there are also expansions of some necessities?
No. So, no. As we kill a few demons, as we go through the different chapters, as those demons exist in our hearts, and we'll hear about them killed there, and we'll kill them in our hearts as well, all of those things we'll discuss. Yeah, they're big topics. They're big topics. We'll get to that, but let's just round this one off, but put that in the car park, you know. There's plenty of room in the car park. So, but I won't forget. I mean, someone asked me a question and 2 years later I answered. It was like, I can't remember what it was. You asked me a question 2 years. I've noted it, all right? Yeah, okay. But now's not the time. So, yes, and here we are, that right now, that man. Now, and so we heard about Kirtida and Kalabhati, and we were saying that basically some of the persons actually who are demigods, who then appear with the Nitya Siddhas, go back to Godhead. They actually go back to the spiritual world, and some don't. So we're going to come back to that point. Just, but that's enough to know now. That just you can be part of it, but not necessarily go back at that time. There may be a whole, you know, universal time of purification to go. Now, so I'll just summarise here. It's still Garga Samhita, chapter 5. After speaking to Brahma, who sits on a lotus throne, Sri Hari addressed the goddess Yogamaya, and you know, the simple point is this, is that one has to follow in the footsteps of those eternal associates to actually develop that level of love in that particular rasa and then become qualified to associate Krishna in the spiritual world. So after liberation, one still has to follow in the footsteps of those Nitya Siddhas. Otherwise, you can't attain Krishna's abode. And that, and you know, that is an essential point in this, and this is what Prabhupada says here, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 31, entitled The Supreme Perfection. The sages mentioned in the Upanishads and in the Shruti also desire the post of the gopis, and they also follow in the footsteps of the gopis in order to attain that highest goal of life. The gopis are certainly better situated than all the mystic yogis and others who desire to merge into the Supreme. The sages of Dandakaranya also follow in the footsteps of the damsels of Braja in order to attain a similar position. One cannot attain that position simply by following regular principles. Rather, one must seriously follow the principles of the gopis. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.21, which we're going to get there, wherein it is stated that Lord Sri Krishna, the son of Srimati Yasoda, is not easily available to those following the principles of mental speculation, but is easily available to all kinds of living beings who follow the path of devotional service. Essential point in all of this. Some of them got liberation, went back to Godhead. They were following in the footsteps of, you know, the parents of Radharani. Even if they're with those associates in those pastimes and they don't take up that devotional mood of practicing, following in their footsteps, they'll not attain that position. So it's a very crucial point. Now, last page. After speaking to Brahma, who sits on the lotus throne, Sri Hari addressed the goddess Yogamaya, whose form is completely spiritual. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O noble-hearted one, take the seventh embryo from the womb of Vasudeva's wife, Devaki, and place it in the womb of Rohini, who is staying in Braja out of fear of Kamsa. When you have done this, you should place yourself in, as an embryo in the womb of Nanda's wife. Right, so then that's how she took birth. Okay, so we're up to, that brings us up to about verses 24-25. And let me just see if there's anything more. I think we've covered what we needed to cover there. Let's see. Got a nectar there. Yeah. And here. Goes from here to chapter 5. All right, so we heard how all the demigods, after, you know, the ones who were sitting there who didn't see any of this happening, and then after this event, which some did see, in verse 26, Sukadeva Goswami says, after thus advising the demigods and pacifying Mother Earth, the very powerful Lord Brahma, who is the master of all the other Prajapatis and is therefore known as Prajapati-pati, returned to his own abode, Brahmaloka. Gaga Samhita says, Lord Brahma and the other demigods bowed down before Lord Krishna, who is greater than the greatest. After comforting the goddess of the earth, each went to his respective abode. Narada Muni had narrated this to King Bahulaswa. After describing the Lord's appearance as an incarnation, he said, O King of Mithila, please understand that Sri Krishna, who incarnated on the earth to annihilate the demons headed by Kamsa, is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. O King, if I had as many tongues as there are hairs on my body, I could still not properly describe Sri Hari's glorious qualities. As various species of birds have different capacities to fly in the sky, so the wise philosophers have different capacities to describe Lord Krishna's transcendental characteristics and pastimes. So I think today we have flown as high as our capacity will allow us.
Mm-hmm.
And we will take it up from where Kamsa. Here's a prophecy from the sky.
Prabhu, you said Baladev was, like, they always say he's the son of Rohini, but you just said that take the embryo from Devaki.
He was born, he appeared first. Yes, he appeared first because Lord Sankarshan, Balaram, is the Supreme Personality of servitorship, Godhead.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so he is the support for all of Krishna's pastimes.
Yes.
By manifesting the Dharma.
Yes.
By making the place that is required and that is suitable for the Lord's pastimes. So therefore, so he appeared within the womb of Devaki to make that arrangement, the nice arrangement for, suitable for Krishna to appear within the womb of Devaki.
Okay. So why is he then known as the son of Rohini instead?
Because Yogamaya, as we were here, we're coming up to that bit. Yogamaya, she transferred Baladev from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini.
So no one else knew at the time?
No. No, they thought she had a miscarriage.
Devaki?
Yeah.
And Rohini got pregnant on her own on the other side?
Yeah. So there's, you know, well, there's little extras to that.
She was also the wife of Vasudeva. Right?
Yes.
And he was in prison with Devaki. So how did she get pregnant then?
Yeah, we'll come to that. I've got a few little extra notes here. We'll come to that. They're good questions.
It doesn't make sense. She wasn't there.
Park that next to the other one. And we are coming to that. But I think, as I said, our little wings, you know, we have flown as high as we can today. And we're going to have to just sit on a branch and relax a little bit and turn our gaze toward the beautiful super soul within our hearts. And ask him to fulfill all our, to answer all our questions the next time we meet. Okay?
So just one question.
What, really? Huh? You're good at this, aren't you? Do you learn this off your kids or what? Or do they get it from you? Go on.
No.
You've got
you see,
4 minutes.
Gaurakishore
Babaji.
The person who's...
Who is that?
Gaurakishore Babaji.
Gaurakishore Das Babaji.
They say that there's no difference between the holy name and Krishna.
Yes.
So the thing you are chanting so sincerely, I'm not taking a lot of,
They're in Goloka Vrindavan even when they come here.
Sorry?
They're in Goloka Vrindavan even when they come here.
So that means their destination is definitely Goloka
Vrindavan,
right? They're Nitya Siddhas.
They come from there.
They come from there and they remain in Vrindavan even when they're here.
If you are doing such sadhanas around Nitya Siddhas, then we feel that there's no hope for us. Is there any example of a human being who's starting at that?
Yeah, the sages of Dandakaranya.
The
sages of Dandakaranya were people who, over many lives, gradually become saintly people by following the Vedic, you know, rituals and formulas for many, many lifetimes. Yeah.
Not that though, for sure, for anyone.
I met him, he told me. No.
No. You can't tell for sure, right? You're just guessing that someone who seems like they're very elevated.
No, there's no guesswork.
Be...
Yeah.
But
no,
we're
guesswork.
Making guesses, aren't we? We
can't. No, we sure. Don't make guesses, but we accept the authorities.
But is it
we accept only realized knowledge. Yeah.
So, like, that's Thakur Bhakti and Thakur and God is also documented. That
Brahma. Who's the head of our sampradaya gives us realized knowledge and therefore we only accept realized knowledge. And any knowledge that we have as to who Gaurakishore Das Babaji is or anything is all realized knowledge. We only accept realized knowledge. Okay? So Gaurakishore Das Babaji ki jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. At least I know I haven't bored you. It's like you're not fighting to get out, you know, 10 minutes early.